So, welcome to the first Sunday session on the of the Eightfold Path program. We'll be together all the way through sometime next year as we explore these different components of the Eightfold Path. And these Sunday sessions are intended to be a time when you get a chance to be with all the people that are taking the program together, and so it's a nice opportunity to come back into that larger group after you've done your own individual work, and also met with your mentor or your mentoring group if you have that. And maybe just for logistics, I'll say that if anybody has any issues with that, we can talk about it either at the break or afterwards, just to make sure we have all the mentoring set up. So the way these are going to work is that you'll generally have two teachers who are some of the among the group of mentors that we have, and I'll introduce all the mentors that are here in a moment. My co-teacher today, though, is Susan Ezekiel, who has just recently, I don't know, it's been a year or so, moved to Santa Cruz after she lived at the retreat center in Scotts Valley for a year or so, and is also originally an Insight Meditation Center person up from the peninsula, and she can say more about herself when she starts. And then we also have in the room a few other mentors. We have Jill and Dan and Bill. Did I miss anybody? Yeah, so it's really great that this program is supported by a number of the teachers here at ISC. So you get a chance to meet us and see us in these sessions, as well as work with one of us in a group or one-on-one. And it would also be nice as we go forward, just because this is the first session, I thought it would be nice if everybody said their name, if we could just go around and have each person just say your name. Starting over here.
Gilbert.
Jake.
Catherine. I'm Lauren.
Doug.
Michael.
Okay, let's catch the front here.
Crystal.
Dan. Bill.
John.
Myra. Andrea. Jane.
Okay. Thank you. And
Jill.
And Jill. Skipped across the front somehow. Thank you, everyone. It's a great set of people. There's a few folks who couldn't be here today due to various things, so it's possible that we'll have even more next time around. And the way we'll, so as you know, today's topic is wise view. And that's the first step of the Eightfold Path, and it's probably also the last step of the Eightfold Path and all the ones in between. It's there's one teaching that says that wise view underlies all of the steps of the path. And as I think was mentioned in the introductory session you had, it's not like we think about this as we just do wise view and then, you know, just do wise intention all the way up and then we're done at the end. It's really much more holistic, and so our hope is to kind of integrate these as we go along. And I'll just say as a very slight introduction before passing to Susan for our meditation is that we're starting on what's called the wisdom section of the path, which is wise view and wise intention. They're all wise, but the section of the path called the wisdom section is these first two, and you might say, well, I'm not very wise, but don't worry, you have enough wisdom to be here, so you are. And then we'll go on, and the path has these three sections. It then has the sila section on our ethical conduct and the samadhi section on mental development, and we'll get to all three of those as we go along and see how they intertwine to support a very complete development of our heart. Okay?
I think I have this right. Does this look right? Everyone can hear me?
It's very soft, both of you actually.
We can turn it, I'll turn it up. Yeah. You can't do anything on that.
I'll also speak a little louder. Well, I'm happy to be back here. I was here, I guess, about a year ago with Kim, and you know, beginning this path study. And so I'm very happy to be here. And so I thought, of course, we want to start out with a sitting, kind of all ground, we can all ground one another here. And would you mind timing this? Because I can't remember exactly
sure. How
long we sit for. Let me see, about 15 minutes, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 15 minutes. So I thought I would just do a little bit of guiding in the beginning, and then we'll just sit in silence. Just close your eyes and take a few deep breaths, long deep breaths. And as you breathe out, feel yourself just settle into your body. Feel your sitting bones on the chair or the cushion. Or your feet on the floor. Just really anchoring you here and now. And I like to begin sitting with just a sense of goodwill towards yourself, sense of goodwill may I be well and happy and safe. And then just extend that sense of goodwill to the other people in the room. May they be well and happy, safe, peaceful. And just extend that outwards into the world, wishing for the wellness and peace of all beings. Just tune into your breath and notice how your breath is in this moment. Is fast or slow, shallow, deep, long, short. Just knowing how the breath is. Noticing the breath in the body. Where is the breath moving in the body? The shoulders, or the chest, or the belly. Just kind of noticing where is the breath moving? Notice if you feel any tight areas in your body. If you can kind of direct your breath there and breathe into those areas, maybe relax them. with a relaxed and alert attention, observe what arises in your experience. Whatever arises, we welcome in this practice, whether they be thoughts, physical sensations, emotions, are present for this flow of human experience. Keeping the breath as our anchor. In the present. Being aware if there is anything that arises that we want to hold on to or push away, and just noticing that. No need to judge or reject anything. Just present for what arises and passes away. Amazing. I love that one. So I'm going to spend some time now talking about the wise view. And just in general, this path, the Noble Eightfold Path, it is the path of the noble ones. The noble ones. This is a noble endeavor that we're engaged in here. So I hope that you have that sense for yourself. You know, what you're doing is really important and really ennobling. So the first step on this Noble Eightfold Path, wise view, I'm sure you have a sense now after your readings, etc., that, you know, when we use this word view, we're not talking about it in the kind of the way that it's used in our culture generally, that we're not talking about opinions or we're really talking about view as a kind of a wide, broad way of looking at our life as human beings. How do we want to view it? How do we want to kind of frame that we're here? And we have, who knows how many years? It's in the grand scheme of things, we don't really have a lot of time here. I mean, in the grand scheme of things. So how do we want to frame our life? You know, what is important to us and of great value? I think Socrates was the one who said, an unexamined life is not worth living. So when we sit and practice, we're really looking very deeply at ourselves, our lives, and the process of investigation, same as examining, process of investigation. And so, you know, some people never really do this. They never really, certainly there's so many things out there to keep us distracted and busy, and people are very busy, and some people just never do it, never really look at it in that way. Other people may kind of frame it around, frame their life around success. You know, I want to be a success, what I'm doing. I want to be the best in my field of expertise. Some people want to be admired and sought after. Some people want to be wealthy. Some like to collect as many interesting experiences through travel and that sort of thing. And nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with those kinds of ways of viewing a life. But in our Buddhist practice, we really have kind of a radical way, of framing our life. And of course, the cornerstone of the Buddha's teachings are we look at our life through the lens of the Four Noble Truths. That is the Buddhist frame view. And you know, the Buddha didn't concern himself with the big metaphysical questions that many philosophers and religious people look at, you know, well, how did we get here? Is there a heaven? What's the nature of the universe? He didn't really make that part of his view and practice. And he didn't really create something that tells us, you know, what we should believe in, that he didn't tell us what's true. But he did give us the tools to look at our lives and figure out for ourselves, you know, what is true, for me. What is it that that I am in my deepest heart and mind? And so we begin this ennobling process by practicing just the way we did a few minutes ago, being fully present for the body and the breath, fully present for what's going on in the mind, the thoughts and the stories, just you know, not getting all tangled up in them, but being present for them. They arise and they pass away. And we're present for our experience just as it is. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's beautiful and sometimes it's not so beautiful. But that's how we do this process of investigation. You know, we don't reject anything, we don't push away anything. We try not to hold on to those things that we like. And so when there is suffering, Four Noble Truths is all around suffering. When there is stress and when there is a sense of dis-ease, the First Noble Truth simply recognizes that this is suffering is part of life, it's part of being human. And unlike many people, through our practice, we really turn towards the suffering. We don't push it away. We don't try to distract ourselves with something else. I recently, in my life, had a very painful thing happen, and so I ended up at the retreat center, and I used this practice to really investigate my suffering, to really be with it, and to understand it. And for me, that was a very transformative process. The Buddha's practice really works. it really can work. It takes effort and it takes energy, but we can see the example of many people who have taken that route with their suffering, and it has made them, it has deepened them. And so when we experience suffering, it's really important to look at the ways that we harden against it and resist it, which just comes naturally. But part of the practice is to be with that hardening and that resistance, breathing into it and seeing if over time we can we can soften around it. And also look at the ways that we want to grasp at things and hold on to the things that we like. We look at the demands that we make on ourselves, and something certainly that our culture encourages, you know, to really see, is that what I really want? Is that the way I want to live? The demands that we make on others, and this kind of drivenness that is all around us. Is that what we want? Is that what we want for ourselves? Looking at the conflicts that we have with what is, and so it becomes pretty clear when we practice in this way that it's these are the forces that really cause us to suffer. And so that is the second noble truth, this clinging and craving and wanting those things that are pleasant and that we like, and pushing away the things we don't like. Just this general, when things aren't right, this wanting them to be other than what they are. And that takes a lot of energy, I found. It takes a lot of energy. And so just understanding this, that this is the source of suffering, clinging, craving. And so then we have the third noble truth, that through this practice of this deep inner investigation of what's going on in our minds and hearts, that it's possible to actually start to free ourselves from this greed, wanting, craving, ill will, and the stories that we tell about things that when we really investigate them, they're not really true. And this is what is ennobling. This is what is transformative about our practice. It really does allow us to, over time, to live with a greater sense of ease in life. And then the fourth noble truth is this path that we're on, that we're studying and living this year, the Noble Eightfold Path. And this is the path that Buddha laid out very specifically, how we can bring ourselves to a more peaceful inner state of being, an inner state of freedom, and a happiness, a contentment that we can nurture and develop that doesn't depend on having things outside of ourselves to be just the way we want them. And so the Buddha actually referred to himself from time to time as a physician. And, he described the Four Noble Truths in kind of terms of, how a doctor would treat someone. So here's the illness. Here's the cause of the illness, the craving, the clinging, the demanding. Here's the possibility of a cure, and here's how the cure happens. Here's how the medicine or what you would follow to get better. I love that. I love that analogy. And so I always find it useful. As we think about, investigate our suffering, it's useful to really kind of make a distinction between pain and suffering, because pain is really kind of unavoidable as human beings. We have these bodies, our loved ones have bodies, we're here for not a long period of time, and bodies are subject to illness, and out in the world, we have big disappointments from time to time. We lose a loved one, we lose a job, we lose a partner. So, and these are painful. We have hearts, this is painful. But the Buddha made the distinction between this pain that we experience as part of life and the suffering, which is what we add to it when we deny or blame or get angry or just sink down in this feeling of sorrow and grief that it's always going to be this way and never kind of climb out of it. So it is possible to be fully present for pain, the pain of life, through this practice that the Buddha gave to us, and to come out of it and to be more more deeper and stronger, really. So this path to inner freedom, to peace of mind and heart, does require us to do something. It does take action on our part, and Kim will talk some more about action in her talk. But each of the Four Noble Truths has an action associated with it, and the action associated with the first Noble Truth asks us to understand the truth of suffering, that that of pain and suffering, and that in addition to all the joy and beauty in life, there is stress, there is pain, there is suffering. We feel anxious, we feel disappointed, uneasy. Sometimes we don't even know why we feel this way. So through our own action, we come to understand this. And Buddhism doesn't put a pretty face on life. As I mentioned, you know, it's very much understood that there is pain. And we, as Buddhist practitioners, we look at things as they really are. We understand that things are always changing, that there's nothing really solid and permanent in this life to hold on to. So just understanding this. And with the second noble truth, the action that we're asked to take in order to cultivate an inner sense of freedom is to let go. Let go. Not always easy, is it? And then with the third noble truth, the action is to really realize the potential of this practice that we do. And perhaps through your practice, you've already noticed how you've been able to let go in some circumstances. You've tasted some of the freedom that comes with this practice. I know in the beginning, when I started on this path, it was 20 years ago, I did start to notice little things by that really helped to keep me going. And so the fourth noble truth, this eightfold path that we're on, we're simply asked to follow it. And so if you ever hear anyone tell you that Buddhist practice is a passive practice, you can let them know that there is action involved, significant action, significant energy, significant effort on our parts. So the first step on the path to freedom from suffering, this wise view, is this way of framing our life through the Four Noble Truths. And it is a radical and ennobling and transformative way of living a life. So I hope that you will give yourself lots of credit for stepping out on this path and for recognizing the nobility within yourself. So, let's see. So now we're going to break up into smaller groups, and I have a couple of questions for the group that you can discuss. We'll start with one question and give an amount of time. Let's see, we'll take about 10 minutes think, for each one. Is that right? 10 minutes for...
Do you want people to break up first and then you explain everything?
Well, we could.
Okay. But yeah, it's about 10 minutes each. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So why don't you break up into... I'll just hold it with this for now. Yeah, I'm not used to this one. It's kind of, so can everyone hear me okay? All right, excellent. So the first question, and you know, each person, you know, we want to get all the way around for everyone to speak. So, you know, just take a couple minutes, each one.
We can actually ring a bell in between.
Okay.
It's helpful.
Okay. So think about your life and talk about maybe some of the lenses or the way that you have framed your life in the past, or that you've observed others using, some of these kinds of ways that we have of looking at our human life. And just talk about what you've noticed in terms of your own or other people. And then we'll go on from there for the second question. Okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.